passages of Scripture will be our text, but we'll begin with Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 1. The Bible says, verse number 1, Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them, which the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquity whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do among them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord again, there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, that shall be desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts again in this place, which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds causing their flock to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful blessing. We're grateful for the opportunity that we can gather together around your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we study your word together, that you would give us direction, help us to make good decisions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to notice in our text here, if we could, in verse number 3 this morning, the Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I entitled my message, "Great and Mighty Things." What a wonderful theme for the Christian, "Great and Mighty Things." What a wonderful theme for a church, "Great and Mighty Things." What a wonderful theme for our lives. Trusting the Lord for great and mighty things. The idea there of great means to be magnifying. And the idea of mighty means to be fortified. Great and mighty things. Now, as you read through the book of Jeremiah, you'll notice that God wants us to trust Him, even when the situations of our lives seem hopeless. God wants us to trust in Him in the difficulties and the distresses of our lives. Someone said this, "Trust Him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when thy strength is small. Trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him, He is ever faithful. Trust Him, His will is best. Trust Him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest." God wants us to trust in Him. And as we trust in God, God receives the glory as He performs the great and the mighty things in our life. In times when it could not be done, in times of great difficulty, God shows up. Now, the book of the prophet Jeremiah is the second of the major prophets in the Bible, not major because of their message, but major because of their length. Now, Jeremiah's ministry was as a prophet to Judah in the years prior to and also during the initial Babylonian captivity. Isaiah warned in advance the coming captivity, but Jeremiah witnessed that captivity. Ezekiel also witnessed the captivity, but his perspective was from Babylon, where he was carried away as a captive. Now, Jeremiah wrote from Judah and witnessed all three of the Babylonian captivities. He saw the bitter destruction of Jerusalem, which at the leading of the Holy Spirit prompted him to write the book of Lamentations, which Lamentations speaks of weeping. And as he saw all that was taking place in Jerusalem, we call Jeremiah the weeping prophet because of that. His heart was broken and he wept as he saw the destruction of his people. Now, Jeremiah begins his ministry about 60 and 70 years after Isaiah's death, and Jeremiah preached for about 70 years. His ministry began in the 13th year of Josiah and continued to the very bitter end of Judah. Jeremiah's prophecy deals with the impending captivity of from the Babylonians, and God used Jeremiah, this prophet, to announce to the Jews that their captivity would only last for 70 years. He foresaw the worldwide displacement of the Jewish nation as well as their final regathering. He prophesied of the coming millennial reign of Jesus Christ and God's judgment to the Gentile nations. Now, God had chosen this man, Jeremiah, this man to be a prophet. And he was, as a prophet, he was to prophesy. This was not Jeremiah's message. This was God's message that God sent Jeremiah to preach. And people have to understand today that we do well if we listen to the message of the Bible. You know, I think it's important for us to understand that a preacher that stands behind the sacred desk, the pulpit, and preaches the word of God and gets people's attention, you know, it's important for him to preach from the Bible. You know, you do a great disservice as an under-shepherd to not give your people the word of God, because it is indeed the word of God that makes a difference. My opinion won't change your life. It's the Bible that changes people's lives. And so we see in this passage of scripture that Jeremiah was commissioned to go with the very prophecy of God. This is what I want you to tell this people. Now, Jeremiah was of the family of the priest, and as a priest, he was authorized to teach the people. But Jeremiah was ordained to be a prophet. And this was a great responsibility as he went with the message of God. I want us to go back, if we could, to the very first chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And I think it's important for us to get the context. And this will be the base here for our message this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 1 of this passage of scripture. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 1. In this scripture, the Bible says this in verse number 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, and of the priests that were in Anamoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. I want to give you some thoughts here from this passage of scripture, and I think it's important to build the context of Jeremiah's message. Number one, I want us to think about the purpose of God in the life of Jeremiah. And we read about that in verse number 5 of our text. The Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, this, of course, is the foreknowledge of God. God had ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet. Jeremiah had purpose in his life. And this was a God-given purpose. This was a special calling that was upon this man. You know, I'm glad today that I can boldly proclaim that all of us have a purpose, and we were created by God on purpose, and we were created by God for a purpose. And if you're a Christian today, then I'm glad to tell you that you have a holy calling upon your life. You have a divine purpose in your life. I know our world today is busy telling us that we're nothing more than a statistic, that we have no purpose outside of what we initialize in our life. But if you're a Christian today, you have purpose in Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful blessing to know that you are here for a purpose. And we are to live to the maximum what we believe to be the will of God for our life. And I encourage you today to not fight against the will of God for your life. You say, well, Pastor Burns, I'm here to tell you that I have no idea what God's will is for my life. And I understand that in the Christian circles today, we make the will of God like some mystery. We make the will of God distant down the road. I have to wait for the will of God. But I'm here to tell you that God's will is not as complicated as you think. I can tell you right now what God's will is for your life. And you can write it down, and you can have it, and you can study it, because the Bible tells us what God's will is for your life. Number one, I'm going to tell you what God's will is for your life. Number one, God's will for your life is that you would be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I can speak with confidence today, knowing that God's will for your life, first of all, is that you would be a Christian. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then God loves you, He died for you, and He wants to save you today. And I believe with all my heart God brought you to the service this morning because He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to Him. The will of God in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, 9 is for you to be saved. That is God's will for your life. Number two, God's will for your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. After you trusted Christ as your Savior, God's will for your life is to be Spirit-filled. God wants you to be impacted and controlled by the Holy Spirit in your life and not by your own flesh and your own carnal tendencies. He wants you to be Spirit-filled. God's will. You can read about it. Ephesians 5, verses 17 and 18. God wants you to be Spirit-filled. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 2 to 8 tells us that God's will for your life is that you would be sanctified. And this is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. He doesn't want you to stay as a baby Christian. He wants you to mature. He wants you to grow in your Christian life. And I can say with absolute confidence today that God's will for your life this morning is that you would spiritually mature in your Christian life, that you would grow. This is God's will for your life. And then also Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 to 2, the Bible teaches us that God's will for your life is that you would submit to God, that you would prove what is that good, what is that perfect will of God for your life, and that you would stop denying and stop pulling away from God in your life, and you would just be a submissionary. You would say yes to God for your life. And this is where Jeremiah was. This is where Jeremiah was in his life. He had to be a submissionary. He had to say yes to God. He had to follow God as God had placed a special calling upon his life. He had to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Yes, Lord, I will go to where you want me to go. And there's a battle here because we see number two, there's the problem with Jeremiah. Now, God says, Jeremiah, I want you to be a prophet. I understand you're born in the family of the priesthood, but I have a higher calling for you. I want you to go and I want you to proclaim my message. And I'm going to tell you something, Jeremiah. People are not going to like the message. People are going to turn away from you, but you don't have to be afraid of their faces. You just keep on preaching. And then Jeremiah says in verse 6, he says, but Lord, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The idea there of a child is that he was inexperienced or immature. He's saying, Lord, I'm not the guy for the job. I'm not the guy that you need to use. I'm sure there's people far more qualified for that position than me. I am just a child. And I love what God said here in this passage of Scripture. God said, Jeremiah, don't say, verse 7, that I am a child, because you obeyed and you will obey. You know, I think the greatest mark of spiritual maturity is your obedience to God. And Jeremiah said, I'm just immature. I'm just a child. I can't be used of you. And God says, no, Jeremiah, you can be used. All you have to do is obey. All you have to do is submit. You see, the problem of Jeremiah was a self problem. And friend, listen to me. God doesn't need your abilities, but he does need availability. He needs you to say, I'll go. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Can we turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice what the scriptures say here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I do want to premise the fact that in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, Paul is writing to a carnal church. He's writing to carnal believers. And he says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1, he says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, God wants to do great things in your life, and God wants to do great and mighty things in your life. But you're going to have to be a submissionary. You're going to have to say yes to God. And when you, who are weak, say yes to God, God does the work through us. It is God that gets the glory for it. And in this passage of Scripture, God says, Jeremiah, I want to use you. I want to do great and mighty things through you. And your grace is not sufficient, but my grace is sufficient. And I want to use your life. I see the promise of God in verse number 5. God says here, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God says here in this passage of Scripture, verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I see in this Scripture a couple of things. First of all, there's a divine purpose. It ought to give us confidence as Christians to know, as a believer today, that we have purpose in Christ and that we are to live for him. And God gave Jeremiah a divine purpose, but also God had given Jeremiah a task to do. We are not on this earth just to exist. We are here not just to take up space. We are here to serve God and to bring glory to God. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. If you're born again today, you have a divine purpose upon your life, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But also God will help you fulfill that purpose in your life. God says, I'll be with you. I'll help you. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He helps us to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in our life. And God says, I'll go with you. I will help you. We see in this passage of Scripture, there's a promise of the presence of God. I will be with you and help you. What a great comfort we have. Some years ago, the church in Carter City, Tennessee, had an attorney draw up some papers, the deed of their property. And he wrote the deed naming the owner of the deed as the Lord God Almighty. Some years later, the church decided that they were going to sell that property and they were going to relocate the church. And so they went back to the same lawyer, and the lawyer said it wouldn't be a problem to do that, but the court could issue them a new deed. As part of the process of writing such deeds, it was necessary to be determined that the previous owner could not be found. And so the sheriff was given the papers to sign, and he swore that the Lord God Almighty was not found in Carter County, Tennessee. And of course, a newspaper heard this story, and they quickly jumped onto it. And the next day in the local paper, the newspaper story was this: Lord God Almighty not to be found in Carter County. Now, if you're a Christian today, I hope you are, I'm grateful and blessed to be able to tell you that that will never happen in your life. God will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Now, you may feel in your life that God is not near to you. There may be times in your life where you're wondering, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? God, where is your work? I can't see your work, but I want you to rest assured this morning that God is always there. Whether you go to the end of the age or to the end of the world, it doesn't matter. God says, I will be with you. What a great promise that he's with you to help you. But not only is he going to be there, he's also going to empower us. The Bible says that God touched the mouth of Jeremiah and he put his words in his mouth. You know, the reality is this, that God will help us and give us grace in the difficulties of our life. The problem is oftentimes we rely on our flesh, ourself, our own wisdom, and not on God. Can you turn with me to the Epistle of Philippians? And let's look together at Philippians chapter 4 in our Bibles. Philippians chapter 4, and notice what the Scriptures have to say in the 13th verse. The Apostle Paul understood the will of God, and the will of God brought Paul to some difficult places. He says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. All of it, the will of God. Paul knew to have much, and Paul knew what it was like to have nothing at all. But this is how Paul got through those things. In verse number, chapter 4, verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Because it's Christ that strengtheneth me. It's Christ that pours his life in me. Whom God calls, God also equips. And friend, today as we rely on the Lord, he empowers us and helps us. I think about number 4, the preaching of Jeremiah. In verse number 10 of chapter 1 in Jeremiah, the Bible says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Now, God had called Jeremiah, the prophet, to join up with a young, godly king named Josiah. Now, Josiah had already took a stand for God. This young king already took a stand for the Lord. And you would think that a godly king and a passionate preacher would make a difference. That repentance and revival would take place in the lives of those people. But that wasn't the case at all. You see, the Bible says that they were a stiff-necked people. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against the preacher, the prophet, a godly king. And Jeremiah wasn't looking to make friends. No, Jeremiah had a commission. He was to preach what God had commanded him to preach. And Paul said the same thing to Timothy. He said, Timothy, listen, you're going to come to a day when they're not going to want to hear what you have to say. But I'll tell you something, Timothy, just keep preaching the Bible, whether it's in season or out of season, whether it's popular or it's not popular. What people need to hear is from God. And so Jeremiah kept on, he kept on preaching. But then lastly, I want us to think about number 5, the praying of Jeremiah. So God says, Jeremiah, call in verse 3 of chapter 33. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We see a directive in this scripture to call upon the Lord. And I'm reminded in the New Testament that the Bible says to draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. You say, why isn't God helping me? Maybe because you haven't asked. The Bible says, call upon me and I will answer you, Jeremiah. And I will show you great and mighty things in your life. Let me ask you this question. Do you want God to do great and mighty things in your life today? Do you want God to do great and mighty things in your heart? Are you happy with your Christian life? Are you happy where you are in your Christian life? Are you satisfied with your walk with God? Hey, listen, God wants to do great and mighty things in your life today. God wants to bring you to new spiritual heights. God wants you to take steps of faith. He wants you to trust in him. He wants you to launch out into the unknown today and trust in him. He wants to stretch you for new ministries and new opportunities. God wants to grow your faith today. He wants to do great and mighty things in your heart. But God also wants to do great and mighty things in your home. What makes a Christian home? Is a Christian home because there are people that are Christians in the home? I don't think so. I think what makes a Christian home is putting God the first priority in that home, where God has the preeminence, where Christ is glorified. And I believe that God wants to do great and mighty things in your home today. Maybe in your home there needs to be some restoration. Maybe in your home there needs to be some healing. I say to you, call out to God today and He'll answer you and He'll show you great and mighty things in your heart, in your home. But I think we need to see some great and mighty things in the house of God. God wants to do great things in our church today. But we need to look to Him to reach new people for God's glory, to follow His will for our life. But how does it all begin? Jeremiah, how do you get to chapter 33? Well, it all begins in chapter number 1. And you're going to have to be a submissionary. You're going to have to say yes to God today. You're going to have to follow Him for your life. You're going to have to follow His leadership for your home, your leadership in your heart, by saying yes to God. And I know we have all the excuses. And we've used them and we've recycled them. And God, I can't do this. This is impossible. I'm glad today I serve a God who delights in the impossible. I believe my God still does the impossible today. And God can still do the impossible in your heart and in your home. If you call upon Him, He'll show you great and mighty things. God, help us today to do the will of God and to submit to Him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for Your word. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to hear Your word, to be challenged by Your word. And I pray You would help us to make good decisions this morning, decisions that would honor You, that would bring glory to Your name. We love You. We thank You for all that You've done. We thank You for all that You will do in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books together this morning, and we're going to sing 249 for our benediction. 249. Just as I am without one plea, God wants to take you just where you are today, and He wants to do something great in your life. Let's stand together. We'll sing that first verse as our benediction. If God has worked in your heart, if God has challenged you, make sure you talk to Him today. Make sure you do business with God and pray to Him. On that verse now, just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. On the second verse now, just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. On the third, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. On that last verse now,